I do that all the time. Oh, turn off our mics.
You should bring your chunk of Velcro, please.
What?
Do you have it? Oh. Oh. When we're practicing, I watched you kick it and I got thrown off because I wanted to reach down and help. That's all it's gonna take. Okay, just you're all good.
Let's do praise. One, two, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise in the valley. Praise on the mountains. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in.
Woo!
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise as the sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true.
Yeah.
Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave.
That's right.
I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true.
Woo.
Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord.
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
I won't be quiet.
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
I won't be quiet.
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
That is breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that is breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything
that has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo!
Thanks for learning our new song with us. We're not quite ready to do it, but we want you to know the words when you get there.
We did it.
Woo. Yeah.
We did what we're not ready. Oh, okay.
Almost ready. You are on. Are you all worn out now?
No, you scared me.
Did I scare you? No, we're just practicing this song so everybody gets used to it when we introduce it. We have 2 minutes.
You guys are ready to go.
Yeah.
Do it.
Ready
to go.
All right, we're worked up. Let's do it.
Are you ready? No pulse.
Nope, we're not ready to go.
Oh, don't do that.
It's a good thing God's in me because I have no life in me.
Oh, just his.
Yep. So good morning, Life Change.
Good morning, Myatt.
How are you guys liking this beautiful sunshine that the
Nice.
It is very, well, see, the cold is to get you to move around and liven up. And look at all the home projects you still got to do, knowing the rain's coming. Yes, yes, this is a time to bury yourself in blankets and watch TV. Binge watch The Chosen.
It works.
So we got quite a few announcements this morning. First, most importantly, we have a very important speaker today. Who already has them rolling in the aisles. So Mike's going to be sharing a great message that God gave him with us today. And just praise the Lord for it. And we are looking forward to it. So I was here last night as he was practicing it. So he's put a lot of time into it. The second thing is we have a potluck after service today. Lots of good food.
Bryce is excited.
Unfortunately, Larry already put his fingerprints in the cake, so just miss that section. So, fortunately, we got him before he got to the cinnamon rolls and everything else. So.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
It's also that time of year that Operation Christmas Child is upon us. So if you want to bring, there's flyers that are out there taped on the window by the doors. So if you want to bring in pencils, toys, stuff like that, there's lists of what to bring. Those will be sending out on Sunday, November 19th. So you got a few weeks until that happens. The youth and I will be packing the shoe boxes the Friday before, even though they don't know that.
Nice.
So, anyways, a lot happening. Just realize that date. Also, this Wednesday at 10:30, there Janine has opened her house for the ladies for a brunch. If you would like to meet at her house, she's doing a Bible study at 10:30, and then brunch is at 11:30. It's open to all you ladies, so if you want to do that, just please see Janine and talk to her. And I know it's going to be great. So also next Saturday, we have our outreach. And if you want it, again, the lives that you can touch is amazing. Until you actually go through this and start knocking on doors and talking to people, because especially in this panic-driven, the world's ending, hands raising, like Kermit the Frog, you know, type world we're living in, you can speak into their lives so much and just impact them. And just the ones that we've done so far, we've hit so many lives. Just to pray with them, to try to talk God to them, to speak Jesus into their hearts. And just that one, it's amazing just seeing the change come over them. And so we're going to meet here at 9:30 for a training on Saturday. If that's something you want to do, and again, I just invite you all to do that. So today, for those of you who don't know, the Brown House is a rental, and there's a lady who...
Pan?
Okay, I am a man.
The colors
I know: brown, red, blue, yellow, green, white, and black. That's my color scheme. I don't know purple peach or peach princess or...
You got to quit eating the crayons.
So... anyways, her 17-year-old daughter was killed in a head-on collision last weekend. Mm-hmm. So today we are taking up a love offering for her to cover funeral expenses and to help out. So if you'd like to give to that, please do today. What? Her name was Cameron.
Kimberly.
Kimberly. Sorry, Kimberly. Oh, there's a birthday?
No.
Oh, for Kimberly.
So, the card for Kimberly.
There's a lot of things going on today. Okay, there's a sympathy card for Kimberly. If you want to sign it, please see Jenny. So that's it for announcements. So today we're going to pray for Jerusalem. So, because we all know there's going a lot going on there, and they need as many prayers as they can get. So, Father God, we just come before you today, Lord. We know that Israel holds a special place in your heart. Lord, we know that no matter what they've gone through, you've always been there with them. And Lord, you've always brought them back home. Lord, you've always protected them, helped them. And Lord, they're in a desperate situation right now. Iran, it's come out that Iran wants to do a ring of fire around Israel, getting all the countries and terrorists to just attack them, to wear them down and wipe them out. But Lord, you are higher than Iran. Lord, you are higher than the terrorists. Lord, you are higher than everyone else. So Lord, we just come before you today and we ask you in Jesus' name to please protect Israel. Lord, please fill their leaders with your understanding and your wisdom. Lord, guide and direct their steps. Lord, protect them. And Lord, we just pray and ask you that all the plans of the enemy will come to naught and come to failure. And Lord, we also pray and ask you to please help those who've lost loved ones, who've lost friends, who've lost family members, who've lost their houses, who've lost everything, Lord. Just please comfort them, both in Israel and the Palestinians who are not part of this conflict. And Lord, we just ask you to please return the hostages. And Lord, we just ask you to please bless Israel. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. For you alone deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, since we already started, let's keep worshiping.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood,
power in the blood. Are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily his praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power, the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woo, woo, woo. Power.
What is this love that won't relent? That's calling out with heaven's threat. Who's reaching wide to save our souls? Only you. What is this grace that makes no sense? That we could never recompense. That gives us all a second chance. Only you, only you, only you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God.
Who hung the stars upon the
showed the sun how bright to shine. Who shaped the world within his hands?
Only you.
Oh, who set the sky upon the hills
and told the waters to be still? Who spoke to form the universe? Only you, only you, only you. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no other God who can save. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Separate us from your love.
Proclaim it, church.
No height or depth can stand between us. No power on earth or all creation. No life or death can separate us from your love. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is
This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing.
Yes.
Our hearts are full of faith. A full attention. You have the final say. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. There's resurrection power.
Come on now.
Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over, even the coldest grave.
Sing this again. There's resurrection.
There's resurrection power.
Come on, church. Save it.
Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over, even the coldest grave. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
We sing, come alive
in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
We bring
everything
to the feet of Jesus.
Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Sing it.
I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Come alive.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything
to the feet of Jesus.
Everything
in the name of Jesus.
This is a house of miracles.
We sing,
come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. Trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him you. wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace.
Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the peace that you give us that surpasses all understanding. When we seek you, we find you, and then you fill us with your peace. So help us to all do that today, Lord. Father, I thank you for the sermon you've given Mike today. Thank you for the words that you're going to have him speak, that they would just infuse us and show us the message that you have for us so that we can live it and take it into our hearts and be obedient to you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, our children can go back in the children's areas if they would like to.
No, hi, I'm here.
Well, it's good to see all of you this morning. Yeah, Mike is going to need a...
I feel like a big kid or little kid at the big people's table.
Looking forward to what Mike has to share this morning. But before he does, why don't we stand together, reach across the aisle, pray for one another, and just... allow God to work in your heart and work in the hearts of those that are around you. Pray for the ones whose hands you're holding, and pray for yourself as well. I know the Lord wants to do something in our midst today, and so we need to be open to what he wants to do. Lord, we come before you today. I just want to thank you for the opportunity of being here. Lord, you know every need in this congregation. Lord, you know those who need a touch from you for healing or for relationships or financial. Lord, you know the need for those who even maybe don't have a relationship with you. Maybe it's a name only. Lord, they really are not connected. And Lord, I pray that today we would connect with you. Lord, I pray that your spirit would fall upon this place, and Lord, that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory. Now, Lord, there's those here today who've tried to do it themselves, and they've been unable to do it. And Lord, there are some things that only you can do. And so, Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so, Lord, I just want to say thank you for the Speaker of the House that we have. Lord, that he's a Christian, that he is verbal about his relationship with you. And Lord, that you would just continue to do in our nation what only you can do. Lord, your arm is not too short that it cannot save. And Lord, we need you. We need you. We need you. And so, Lord, move upon the hearts of each individual here as well as those throughout our nation so that we can see a harvest come into your kingdom. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you hear me now? Is that better? Can you hear me? All right. I want to say good morning to Zoom also. I understand that every Sunday morning that there's many people that are watching on Zoom as well. So good morning. What's that? Multiple people. That's right. And I'd like to begin first by giving Pastor Brad a big thank you for this opportunity to be up here. 4 years ago when Sandra and I first began attending this church, I never dreamed that I'd find myself standing here. So it is indeed a privilege. And second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife, Sandra, because today there are 60 slides and she prepared them all. So give her a big hand. She deserves a lot of the appreciation. Yeah, absolutely. So, and even though I've had about 5 to 6 months to prepare, God really only laid on my heart what he wanted me to say about 4 weeks ago. So it gives me a new appreciation for Brad, who does this every week. I cannot imagine doing this every week. I would have to pour myself into it all week long, every week, just to come up with a mini sermon. So what a gift Pastor Brad is to us. You all might also be kind of wondering, well, why do I not have a musical instrument in my hand today? Let me tell you, it's a whole lot different playing music up here than it is to stand and deliver the sermon. So also, I found, you know, Sandra has been telling me for a long time, trim your beard, and I've refused. I've discovered a new use for my beard today in that it helps hold my microphone in place. So I'm glad I didn't trim it. So what I want to share with you this morning is the truth, how vital it is to seek the truth, to embrace it, and to live it out. And as I preach this morning, I want you to know I'm preaching as much to myself as I am to all of you. And what I'm presenting to you today is simply the gospel, but perhaps in a way that you have not heard it before. So buckle up. Here we go. So what is truth? This is a question that Pilate asked Jesus as he stood face to face looking at Jesus in John 18:38. Little did Pilate know he was face to face with truth, capital T, because there's no way you can talk about truth without including Jesus. Right there was Pilate's opportunity to walk away from the world and embrace Jesus and become a part of the kingdom of God. He could not do it though. And why? Because he was part of the Roman government. He was immersed in it. He had so much power. He was ensconced, and he was part of the New World Order at the time. And Jesus spoke truth to Pilate in John 18:36, a couple of verses earlier, when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate recognized a part of this truth when he replied, "Ah, so you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears the truth hears my, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Sadly, that seems to be where the conversation ends between Jesus and Pilate. So what is truth? What's the truth about God? What's the truth about our world and about us as a people? We live in an age today where, unlike at any other time in history due to communications, we are constantly bombarded with information from all directions, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and there is no relief. So here's the truth. Do you know? And I always like it when Pastor Brad says, "Here's the truth," because I know truth is going to come out when he prefaces his statement with that. Most, if not all, of the information you receive from media today is not the truth, but a lie. And this is one reason why we must stay focused on Jesus, stay focused on his word, stay in relationship, because there's where truth is. So the great talk show host Rush Limbaugh used to call himself America's Truth Detector. I miss him. I don't know about how you all feel about Rush, but I liked Rush. I do miss him. But do you know that all of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have our own truth detector inside of us, and he's the Holy Spirit. He will speak truth to us. He will tell us what is true. He will tell us what is false. So always have your truth detector on. So what a month. Let's just look at the month of October, for instance. What a month October 2023 has been. Israel was attacked by Hamas. And by the way, I don't know if you knew this. Do you know that that is the Hebrew word for violence and wrongdoing? That's what Hamas it means in Hebrew. So 250 young people were murdered at a music festival and by Hamas, and in another location, numerous women and children were gunned down, raped, and 40 babies murdered. And 1,400 Jews so far were murdered on October 7th of 2023. And after that initial attack, there was a rocket that was launched by Hamas as well. And that missile was, a rocket was misguided, and it exploded over a hospital, and that killed many more people, and that was in Gaza. But they, the Hamas folks said that was a missile that had been fired from Israel. Well, that was not true. Media ran with the lie. And so everybody started, you know, especially all the activists here in the United States started protesting against Israel and hating on Israel. It wasn't Israel's fault. So when I did my research to prepare for this, do you know when I went on Google and tried to look up how many Israelis had died? Every single article that I read was only about the number of deaths that there had been in Gaza. There was I found one article finally that said, oh yes, there were 1,400 Israelis that were killed and 229 hostages taken altogether. So just part of the deception, you know. It's very frustrating though. But look, that's part of what seeking truth is all about. Digging deep until you come to what you know is for real. So let's go back a few years. Let's go back to about the time of Jesus. There was a man by the name of Claudius Ptolemy, and he thought that the earth was the center of the universe and that everything revolved around the earth. Not only our solar system, but the entire universe. You know, it was about 1,400 years later that finally the truth came out. And so that's how long it takes sometimes for truth to emerge. 1,400 years later, we have a man by the name of Nicholas Copernicus. Perhaps you've heard of him. And he finally settled everything, and this is the truth, is that the earth and all the planets revolve around the sun, and that the earth is not the center of the universe. But he was persecuted by the church, by the Catholic Church, because the church taught that that wasn't the truth. The church was wrong in this case. And so Copernicus in the 15th century figured out the truth. Do you know that in our 21st century world that there are people who still believe that the earth is flat? I mean, come on. We've got video evidence. We've got photographic evidence. We've got astronauts who have stood on the surface of the moon and looked back at the earth, and they've seen a spherical earth, not a pancake. But you know, some of those same people also do not think that we actually landed on the moon. Now, isn't that silly? And some of those people actually believe that the moon was placed in Earth orbit by ancient aliens, and that that was their spaceship, and they put it just in the right place. And they think that those astronauts also inhabited Mars. Now, there is no evidence for any of this. But do you know, it's just kind of funny that people without evidence will accept a lie like that and then reject the gospel and reject the Bible, reject Jesus. It just is confounding. Do you know that today there are millions of people who believe that there are not just two sexes, male and female, as Scripture tells us and as we can see with our own eyes, but that there's three sexes, that there's six sexes, that there's 72, 97, 100. The list is endless. It's crazy, but it's what they believe. And these same people believe that a male can become a female, that a female can become a male, and this can happen either by self-mutilation or simply by thinking it or by wearing the clothing of whatever their chosen gender is. Do you know that there are people who believe that by asking the universe for whatever it is that they want, that the universe has an obligation to give them exactly what they ask for? total nonsense. But you can look on YouTube and you can see video after video after video of people who fervently believe this. Do you know that there are those who tell us that if we walk, if we ride a bike, if we drive an EV, if we have more wind turbines, if we have more solar panels, that we will save the planet? And those who want us to believe this, they say, give us your money, surrender your liberty, and we will save you. Well, it's all just utter nonsense. Because what's the default climate supposed to be? Who gets to determine that? And even if we were to enact all the things that these elitists who want us to believe this, it's been computed that it might only make the difference of maybe a half a degree Celsius in temperature. There are natural forces enacted by God in play, and that's what is causing the constant cycles in climate. It's been going on since the very beginning. So, do you know that it was once believed that eggs and butter were harmful for you, and that you should eat egg substitute, and that you should eat margarine? And now we know better. I know Craig would probably agree that, no, butter and eggs are okay for you. So the list goes on and on. We could talk all day about the myths that are out there that people believe. The problem with the truth is this. It exists no matter what people's view of it are, waiting to be discovered, rediscovered, embraced, and spoken, especially in a world that is so deceived today. The lie predominates, but the lie can never displace or destroy the truth. Charles Spurgeon, I'm sure all of you are familiar with him, he said, if you want truth to go around the world, you must hire an express train to pull it. But if you want a lie to go around the world, it will fly. It is as light as a feather, and a breath will carry it. It is well said in the old proverb, a lie will go around the world while truth is pulling its boots on. So true. So what of lies? What kind of lies are there? I've kind of categorized them into three categories: lies of commission, lies of omission, and lies of selectivity. Also known as half-truths. Boy, we see a lot of half-truths in the media today, in our movies, everywhere. Everywhere you look, half-truths. And all of these are used as propaganda to deceive and hypnotize the masses repeatedly. Now, Joseph Goebbels, how many of you know who he is, who he was? He was Hitler's propagandist. And he said, repeat a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. So let's get to today's message. I want to cover the truth about God, the truth about the natural man or woman, in other words, the unsaved, the truth about the godly man or woman, the saved, the necessity of securing eternal life, and what's the truth today? So, just in the interest of brevity, I'm not going to read all of the scriptures associated with God. I think whether, you know, I don't know whether there's anybody in here that only believes that God exists, doesn't have a personal relationship with him, but I think everybody, even the non-follower of Jesus, would agree God is, he exists and created all things. God is infinite. God never changes. God is self-sufficient. God is all-powerful or omnipotent. God is all-knowing or omniscient. God is omnipresent. In other words, he's everywhere. God is love. That's the one that is most popular, and I think I can understand why. God is holy and righteous. God is wise. God is faithful. God is good. God is powerful and mighty. God is glorious. God is merciful. God is gracious and compassionate. And finally, God is just. So, moving on, so what about the natural man or woman? These are people that, this is how we came into the world, natural. We're born into sin. And although there's goodness out there, I know that there's a lot of people who say, oh no, I think most people are good. Well, just look at our world. Are most people good? No, there are people who do some good things. But those people are still lost unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth about the natural man or woman is this: men and women are born into sin and have a sinful nature. Romans 5:12-13, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Genesis 3:1-6, that's a different one. I didn't really mean to include that. But anyway, what I want to note here is that Eve, when she replied to the serpent, told a lie right back to Satan, because she said, God said, don't even touch the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She said, thou shalt not touch it. That wasn't true. So that was another lie. 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Romans 3:10-12, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Isaiah 64:6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And if I just want to pause there for a moment. You know, Isaiah was written long before Jesus ever showed up. And I think if there were ever a case to be made for an unbeliever, if you're trying to convince him or her, you can point to the book of Isaiah and how Jesus is clearly described, and to me, you know, way ahead of time, way before Jesus arrived on the scene, and I think that that is very convincing. That would be convincing to me anyway. Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all else and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ecclesiastes 7:20, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and never sins. Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Judges 21:25, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So moving on to more characteristics, they are deceived, they are perishing, they refuse to love the truth, they even deny it. They delight in wickedness, they are deluded, they believe the lie, they are condemned. And I want to take a look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will all be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. They are fools, and you know, they claim to be so wise. Look at how many people who have spent 8-10 years at university. They're supposed to be the educated ones, but my goodness, what do we hear from their lips? What do we read in their writings? Foolishness. They have depraved minds. They are evil. They are greedy. They are envious. They produce strife and division. They are deceitful and malicious. They are gossips and slanderers. They hate God. They are insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They lack love, have no fidelity, and have no mercy, says Romans 1, 18 through 32. They are slaves to sin. So how many of you know who Bob Dylan is? Yeah, yeah, not a theologian. I just kind of put that up there. He has, during his life, around 1979 or 80, kind of got wrapped up in the Jesus movement and everything, but he's since kind of drifted away. I don't know whether he's saved or whether he's not, but he understood the notion of being a slave, and he says you got to serve somebody in his song. And it says it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. True indeed. And if we choose not to serve the Lord, then we are serving the devil. Even if we're only pleasing our own flesh, that serving of self and only self without regard for God or for others is exactly what Satan wants us to do. Everyone only looking inward with focus always on self. And, when we have our sights just on ourselves, Satan doesn't have to do a whole lot because he's got us right where he wants us there. Mm-hmm. They are blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So all of these characteristics are sin. So what is sin, you ask? Well, most of us in this room probably know what it is. But, we've probably done a lot of them. We've seen the consequences to ourselves, and we've seen the consequences of sin to others. What it is the falling short of the glory of God. In Hebrew, the word is kata, which means to fail or to miss the goal. To sin means to transgress or break the law of God. So you ask, what is the law of God? Well, let's just look at the Ten Commandments, shall we? And Kurt, I know you've got these Kurt, you have these all memorized in order. So impressive. I like that. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. And then Jesus wrapped all of these up nicely in two. And he said, Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So finally, I want to say, do you know that while God is love, that God also hates? You know what he hates? He hates sin. So Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And that's referring to honesty versus dishonesty. So he hates dishonesty. Malachi 2:16, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Psalm 5:5, the boastful cannot stand in your presence. You hate all workers of iniquity. Psalm 11:5, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So it's fine. I love that we Christians love good, but I'm afraid sometimes we don't hate evil as we ought to and speak out against it. We just remain silent, and that's sad, I think. So what's the truth about the godly man or woman, that is, the saved? If a Christian man or woman is walking in the Spirit and walking in obedience to the Lord, they will display the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So further characteristics about the godly man or woman is they will be patient, kind, unenvious, they will be humble or unboastful, they will be honoring, they will be selfless, they will be slow to anger, they will keep no record of wrongs. In other words, they will exercise forgiveness. They do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Love protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. They will imitate God, Ephesians 5:1. They will obey the Lord, John 14:15. They will not conform to the world's standards, Romans 12:2. They will exercise power over the enemy. And who's the enemy? Gosh, not just the devil, but our own flesh as well. They will bear good fruit, Matthew 7:18-20, and Galatians 5:22-23 that we just read. They will glorify Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:23-25, and 1 Corinthians 10:31. They will have a spirit of gratitude, Ephesians 5:20. They will not be anxious, Philippians 4:6. I had to tell myself that this morning. And they will be prayerful. So, how do we get from ungodly to godly? Well, I had a lengthy paragraph that I was going to present, but I narrowed it down just for you folks, and I said, the first thing you must do is to repent and forsake your sin. You can't continue on living like you were and think that you are going to gain favor with God. Doesn't happen. Because that's what caused the brokenness in the first place. The second thing, you must believe that Jesus has the power to save you. So it is in him that you place your trust. you don't have any part in that other than making the decision to follow him. Third, you got to be born again. Now, really, that's kind of number one and number two wrapped up will lead to you being born again. But Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no way around that. And number four, you must be baptized as an outward sign of the inward conversion. So I want to go on and talk about the necessity of securing eternal life. Thank you for sticking with me. We're almost through this. So listen, our bodies are mortal, but our souls are eternal. When we know Jesus, we will have eternal life with Heavenly Father. If we don't know Jesus, we will essentially have eternal death. I mean, our souls go on, but they don't go on in the presence of the Lord Jesus, in the presence of Heavenly Father, in the presence of Holy Spirit, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, God is love, but he is also just. You don't hear many sermons today that talk about God's wrath. God hates sin. In fact, there can be no sin in heaven, which is why God banished Satan and his angels from heaven, because of their unrepentant sin and desiring to be gods themselves. And we, being made just a little lower than the angels, needed a remedy for sin to save us from the wrath of God. In the Old Testament, that remedy was the blood of bulls, sheep, goats, birds. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22 says, Jesus was the once and for all blood sacrifice suitable to God for the sins of all men and women. Therefore, for those who are unrepentant, defiant sinners who have not accepted God's free gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus, there is no other, must be punished for their transgressions. We reap what we sow. Even though God draws all people to himself, most reject the message of the Bible and choose to make themselves God, follow false gods and idols, or openly serve Satan. Boy, don't we see a lot of that today. Satan isn't even hiding, and his followers are not even hiding. They're right out in the open. Yep. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13 through 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Since all those who do not believe God in saving faith chose during this lifetime to live their lives independently of him, God will certainly honor their request when they pass from this life to the next. He's going to give them exactly what they chose here on earth. And this means that those who have rejected God's Son, Jesus, will spend eternity in hell. And although this is a chilling statement, it is the truth. Hell was prepared by God for the devil and his angels, but also for the unrepentant, Matthew 25:41. So friends, if you reject Jesus, the word of God, and desire to go your own way and live life on your own terms without regard to him, when you die, and you will one day, Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, you will spend eternity without God in darkness in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15 says. So what's the truth today? Well, I've said it a few times. I'll say it again. We are messed up. We have such a broken world. The world has been broken from the very beginning. Just look at all of the Old Testament stories. My goodness, mankind is broken. Now we have 8 billion plus people on the planet. So just multiply all the problems that we've had in the years prior, in the centuries prior, and now you've got, it's just magnified. And I don't think anybody has any questions about that. But are we not repeating the times of Noah? I thought about this verse and I thought, gosh, I gotta include this in my sermon. Genesis 6:5 said, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only on evil all the time." My goodness, does that not summarize what's happening today? It is self-evident, just as the existence of God is. So why are we messed up? Because of sin. Because men and women around our world from the beginning have done what Adam and Eve did. They exchanged the truth for the lie, and we have all done what was right in our own eyes. My truth, your truth, 8 billion different truths, but God says there is only one truth, and his word proclaims that. So we started with Pilate and Jesus, and I promised that I'd take us right back there where we began. So Jesus told Pilate in John 18:37 that his kingdom is from another place. Pilate responded, "You are a king then." Jesus then stated, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Though Pilate looked directly in the face of truth and heard the truth, and all those Jews and Gentiles in the crowd heard the truth, what did they do? They demanded Barabbas be released and Jesus executed. They rejected him, did not believe that he was who he said he was and is, exchanged the truth for a lie, and demanded that the criminal be set free and the innocent one punished and murdered. We see examples of this today where people who have done, depends on what side of the political aisle you're on. If you're on one side, you can get away with virtually anything, and it doesn't matter how severe the crime is. If you're on the other side, you get jailed for long periods of time over minor offenses. And that's the truth. We see it if we're paying attention. So Pilate, despite this powerful politician knowing that Jesus was innocent of any wrongdoing, turned Jesus over to the Pharisees and the very one who yielded up his life for them, and they killed him. Why was Jesus hated so? Well, quite frankly, it was because, and this is very simply put, the Pharisees created an idol. Their own thoughts, their own rules, and they made themselves gods. Spirit is just the same as carving a graven image. And they worshiped themselves. Jesus exposed and dispelled the myth, the lie that these heretical Jews embraced. So Jesus kind of got in the way. They didn't like that. It hurt their pride. You've heard the term, don't shoot the messenger. Well, in this case, the Pharisees and the Romans and all the Gentiles that were there hung the messenger upon a cross. So finishing up now, I want to ask you, what idols or strongholds or addictions are in your life that keep you from truth? Do you have any? Or have you allowed Jesus to work his beautiful love within you and remove those from you? Have you truly become a new creature? And it is so true that sometimes we don't initially like the truth. we might not like it for a long time, especially when it gets personal. And it kind of pricks our pride, really does. All of us, even the most humble of us, have pride. I think we have to admit that. And that's something that we need to surrender to God when we come to know Jesus. If we are to be free, we must invite the truth in, even if it hurts, no matter the cost. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Seek truth to be free, my friends. So my question to you today is this: what will you do with Jesus? What will I do with Jesus? Will you reject his message of truth and cast him aside, crucifying him all over again? Or will you come to him, be willing to repent and believe and have new life and a renewed mind and be free while living for him? I'm afraid that too many of us, even sometimes, you know, there was a time when I walked away for a period of time, really wasn't consciously walking away from the Lord, but I was just kind of doing my own thing. For those of you, I know John has a boat. I know probably several of you here probably have been out on boats, and you all know about drift. Well, I kind of drifted away. And why? Because I did not keep the relationship that I had with Jesus alive, and I wasn't active in it. And, you know, in our Bible study, we're studying the book of Esther right now. And how easy it is to drift away. I think Esther and Mordecai might have kind of been at a place at one time where they had drifted somewhat away. It took pending calamity to bring them back to God. But back to God, they did come. So, in conclusion, it is said that the most chilling words that we could ever imagine hearing are these: "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Matthew 7:23. Or, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25:41. Boy, I sure know those are words that I do not want to hear. The other words that we could hear are these: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter now into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:21. Those are the words that I want to hear. But we have to be obedient and do the will of our Father in heaven in order for this to happen. So which will you hear? Your life will be reviewed one day. My life will be reviewed one day. What's Jesus going to say to me? What's Jesus going to say to you? Choice is yours. So I'd like the worship team to come forward. And if you're lost, why don't you come on up and talk with either myself or with Pastor Brad? We'd be helpful. We'd be very happy to help you through any issues that you might be dealing with. Matt will be in the back if you don't feel like coming up in the front, and he will pray with you. Let me ask you these words: are you just almost a Christian? That's pretty scary, too. Do you know that if you died today, would you be present with the Lord in heaven? I imagine that we talked about at the beginning of the service, the young 17-year-old girl who passed away in a traffic accident, I would imagine that she thought that she had many tomorrows remaining. So we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know whether we will be around tomorrow. Some people say, well, I'll make my decision on my deathbed. Well, having the privilege of getting to a deathbed is just that, it's a privilege. But so oftentimes people actually get there and they don't make the right choice. The best thing to do is to make sure that you know that you're heaven bound by inviting Jesus into your life, repenting, and believing and trusting in him. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that everybody here this morning would be a truth seeker, mm-hmm. and that they would acknowledge that the word of truth can only be found in the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provided your word to us, and we thank you that you sent Jesus to be our blood sacrifice, because holiness would be impossible without him. So Heavenly Father, I just pray that if anybody is here today, that they would drop their pride and that they would surrender to you and come to know you on a personal basis and see what a blessing it is to walk in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and to walk righteously. And it is in Jesus' name that I ask all these things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember redemption till where your blood was spilled for my
Thank you, Michael. I don't know that I've ever heard the gospel presentation.
That was really great.
So thank you. We're going to have a potluck here in the back, and we invite all of you to come and participate. There's plenty of food. And so, Jake, would you be willing to dismiss us in prayer and bless the food, and then Wendy's going to bless us out. And here's your microphone.
I didn't say I was willing yet. Thank you, Lord, so much for Mike's presentation to us today, his preaching to us today. We could tell that he poured his heart and his soul into that, giving us so much word. Help us, Lord, to answer that question truthfully. What do you mean to us? Who are you to us? We thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior,
yes.
You are salvation.
Yes.
We have assurance of that through you and thank through you. The work that you did. So we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for this day in Tillamook. The sunshine, it has been a little cold, but it's a beautiful day out there. It's going to be even nicer. We thank you for the meal that is before us. We ask you to bless it and bless our time together. And we thank you, Lord, for each other and your Holy Spirit among us. We thank you for all these good things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
Keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee, the Lord
lift up
his countenance, on thee and give thee peace.
God bless you guys.
Amen.